America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Some U.S. soldiers in Iraq have a new mission to restrict the movements of newly returned U.N. weapons inspectors. Defense Department officials say the seven members of the International Atomic Energy Agency have only one job to conduct at a nuclear research center near Baghdad. They need to determine how much radioactive material was looted in the chaos after Saddam Hussein's regime was overthrown. The UN team will not have access to any other nuclear sites in Iraq. The group arrived in Kuwait yesterday and is set to begin working at the site Saturday. Pentagon officials say this visit does not set any precedent for future IAEA involvement in Iraq, and it is not considered a disarmament effort. Lawyers for Connecticut victims in the Rhode Island nightclub fire are filing suit. The complaint alleges negligence, product liability, and loss of consortium against numerous defendants, including the station, the state of Rhode Island, the town of West Warwick, and the band Great White. Attorney Dan Horgan says his clients have healed physically.
Emotionally and mentally, however, is a different story. They will be plagued with these scars for years, and it is our hope by filing this lawsuit that all the defendants that we've named will stand up and accept responsibility.
The attorneys say they filed the suit now because defendants have not been releasing documents as requested. They say they hope to settle out of court, but will be ready for a trial. They represent eight victims, four of whom died. The fire ignited during a February 20th concert, killing 100 people.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
The U.S. and Israel sidelined Palestinian President Yasser Arafat from the recent Mideast peace summit, preferring to deal with Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas. Now Arafat is weighing in, criticizing the summit. Lori Yama reports.
Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat says the Palestinians failed to win real commitments from Israel. As Arafat put it to reporters, unfortunately, the Israelis did not give anything. What does it mean to move a trailer here or there? Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon says illegal settlement outposts will be removed. Israelis say they are preparing to dismantle more than a dozen outposts in the West Bank, but most of those are just a few mobile homes. Although the U.S. and Israel are trying to push Arafat aside, the Palestinian leader is said to have directed the Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas at the summit. However, Arafat reportedly is upset that Abbas in his speech at the summit did not refer to the Israeli siege. Laura Iyama.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Members of the U.S. Air Flight Attendants Union set up picket lines outside airports in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh today to take their grievances to the public. Union head Molly McCarthy says what they want is what was negotiated in their contract with the airline.
We agreed to a new sick policy that was supposed to have no more than a five-hour sick penalty to it. The penalty now goes from 5 hours to about 30 or 40 hours, and that means that a flight attendant, when they call off sick, basically loses a week's pay.
McCarthy says they also want back a 5% war concession that was contingent on the airline suffering from a drop in travel that hasn't happened. She adds this is the first of many protests, with the pilots and other union workers planning to join in next time if their demands aren't met. Stocks struggled today, but the major market averages still managed to finish slightly positive. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 2 points and ended at 90.41. The Nasdaq was up 11 to 16.46, and the S&P 500 finished up 3 to 9.90. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, probably like us with today's Car Clinic Minute. Anti-lock brakes, seat belts, and airbags. All ounces of prevention safety that equip today's cars. But when we come back, I'll tell you where there's a pound of cure, just in case you need it.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
Today's technology-equipped cars are designed to prevent accidents. But when they happen, it's technology again, this time to the rescue. 1,000 cars in upstate New York are testing automated collision notification. This system uses in-vehicle sensors to detect a crash and then employs a satellite and cellular phone system to relate the severity and location of the accident directly to 911. After receiving this information, the operator then opens a voice line and dispatches emergency assistance. Wow, that sounds like 2 pounds of cure to me. I'm Bobby Likas, brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Phone number here, if you'd like to join in, 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Or you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Program is always produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. And wherever you're listening to us, welcome, whether it's IE America Radio Network or Sirius Channel 145, that's Sirius Left, RadioPower.org, or the White Rose Society.org. And by the way, at the bottom of each hour tonight, we are going to play an audio file of as many of the Bush crime family's lies about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction program as we could put together. I think this runs about 9 minutes. You got to hear this. It's Ari Fleischer, George Bush, Colin Powell, Donald Rumsfeld. Who else is involved in it, Kathy? Condoleezza Rice, lie after lie after lie after lie. It's an amazing little piece of sound we want you to hear. And given the fact that nobody in the right mind would listen to this program for an entire 3 hours, we're going to play it three times tonight at the bottom of each hour. So stick around for that, okay? I think you'll find it entertaining, to say the least. All right, a couple of items here before we get to the heart of the program. In Tennessee, they execute people in Tennessee by lethal injection, as so many states are doing now. Tennessee's lethal injection procedure for executing condemned inmates is constitutional. A judge has just ruled, even though a drug used to execute humans is a drug banned for euthanasia of animals. Now, that seems a little weird, doesn't it? You can't use a certain drug to execute or euthanize animals, but it's okay to do it on humans? In an 18-page ruling, the Davidson County chancellor or judge, Ellen Lyle, agreed the method of execution is not, in her words, state-of-the-art. And it could be updated. But in the meantime, it's okay. Judge Lyle said testimony from an assistant professor of clinical anesthesiology and a professor of veterinary science was compelling that one of the drugs used can create what's called a chemical veil in which the subject being executed looks serene, but is in fact under extreme pain, thus making an execution more palatable to witnesses. See, I'm against the death penalty, unless it's for certain members of the Bush crime family. You know, mass murder, okay, that's where I draw the line. Mass murder, I really do believe that there are some people who are too evil to live. So what does that make? Boy, I just compromise all my points of view, don't I? Huh? I just compromise them all. I say I'm pro-life where it concerns abortion, and yet I believe a woman has the right to choose. I say I'm against capital punishment, executions, and yet I'll make exceptions. I say I hate guns, and yet I own guns and advocate that people do the same. I don't know. Just what do you call that, Kathy? Moral what? Equivocation? Ambivalence? The drug cannot be used to execute dogs in Tennessee, but it can be used to execute people. Okay. Newsflash. George Bush flew over the Iraqi capital of Baghdad on Air Force One today en route to the United States. That's according to a senior U.S. administration official. The official told reporters in Doha, Qatar, which is the last leg of Mr. Bush's Mideast trip. The official said Bush pointed out various landmarks in Baghdad. He also said the presidential Boeing 747 spent 1 hour and 16 minutes and 43 seconds in Iraqi airspace. The official added that Mr. Bush flew over Iraq for two reasons. One, to get home. And two, to show that Iraq was now free. Well, that certainly sticks in my craw. Oh, my God. Ah! Flew over Iraq. Flew over Baghdad. In order to make the point that Iraq is free. I can't. No, please stop. Please stop. Please make them quit. You probably know now the top two people at the New York Times have resigned, Hal Raines and Gerald Boyd. They resigned this morning, 5 weeks after the resignation of a wayward reporter. That's how they describe. That's how they describe Jason Blair. A wayward reporter set off a rapid chain of events that exposed deep fissures in management. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be nice if Bush would resign for the lies and plagiarisms of his staff? Huh? Yeah, that's going to happen, yeah. I found this kind of interesting because Hal Raines, the executive editor, the top dude at New York Times, before he was the top dude at New York Times, Hal Raines was the editorial page editor, and during the last couple of years of the Clinton administration, it seemed like every other day Hal Raines was demanding that Bill Clinton resign because Bill Clinton lied about sex. Now, it was kind of interesting. Here are two Southern white men, Hal Raines and Bill Clinton, two Southern white men in positions of extreme power. Bill Clinton is president of the United States. Hal Raines is editorial page editor of the New York Times at the time. And one of these powerful Southern white men was demanding that the other powerful Southern white man give up his job. Now, isn't it interesting? It is to me. I just pay attention to this stuff. I don't know why. I remember when Hal Raines' book came out, My Soul Is Rested. Hal Raines at one time was the managing editor of the Journal Constitution here in Atlanta. I think I met him at functions around Atlanta over the past 30 years. But it's interesting to me in a perverse sort of way that so many of the people that demanded Bill Clinton's ass have had to sacrifice their own. Isn't that, so here's another one. Here's Hal Raines. The publisher of the newspaper of the New York Times, Arthur Sulzberger Jr., told staff members that he wanted to, quote, applaud Hal Raines and Gerald Boyd for putting the interest of this newspaper, a newspaper we all love, above their own, end quote. And it looks like the replacement for Hal Raines will be the person that Hal Raines replaced for the time being, Joseph Lelleveld. There were no immediate replacement for Mr. Boyd, who was the paper's managing editor. Yada, yada, yada. Hal Raines' tenure was the shortest since the paper's longtime Washington columnist James Reston served as executive editor for 13 months during 1968 and 69 before returning to writing his column. What else do we have? The newspaper's 152 years old. The announcement came at mid-morning in the newsroom in front of dozens of reporters, editors, photographers, and other newsroom staff members, many of whom sobbed audibly. Mr. Raines told them, "As I'm standing before you for the last time, I want to thank you for the honor and privilege of being a member of the best journalistic community in the world, except when we lie, except when we steal stuff, and except when we make stuff up. Other than that, you know, we're great. It has been a tumultuous month, 20 months, but we have produced some memorable newspapers. And remember, when a great story breaks, go like hell." Well, goodbye now. And off he went. I wonder if Hal Raines and Gerald Boyd resigned because it was the honorable thing to do or because the publishers of the New York Times said, "Look, guys, get out of here." What had happened, a lot of press around the country were really ragging on the Times. But the event or the series of events that made their resignations almost certain was the fact or were the facts that late-night television comedians were starting to take him apart, bolt by bolt. And once that happens, you're out of here. Okay, what else? What else? What else we got here? The FCC, Bob Herbert, writing New York Times today, mentions the fact that the latest government giveaway to big business came Monday this week when the FCC eased a number of media ownership restrictions. And, of course, it was a big story, but very few media outlets covered it. Not so widely covered was an interesting and enlightening study by the Center for Public Integrity on the cozy relationship between FCC officials and the telecommunications and broadcasting industries they're supposed to be regulating. Now, this is just, especially during Republican administrations and almost singularly during this administration, those being regulated and those doing the regulating are usually from the same family. There's no regulation. What? Whom are we trying to kid here? Environment? There's no regulation. Food safety? There's no regulation. What else? Food and Drug Administration? There's no regulation. FCC? There's no regulation. Come on. Can you say conflict of interest? The Center for Public Integrity examined the travel records of FCC employees and found that over the last 8 years, commissioners and staff members have taken 2,500 trips costing $3 million that were primarily paid for by members of the telecommunications and broadcast industries. Now, can you imagine how maybe, just maybe, the interests of ordinary folks like you and me who don't have the money or the entree to lobby the FCC and entertain its staffers, how our interests could be overlooked? Huh? According to the study from by the Center for Public Integrity, get this, the top destination for these meetings was Las Vegas. 330 trips to Las Vegas. Second was New Orleans, 173 trips. New York City, 102 trips. And other popular destinations were London, 98 trips. San Francisco, Palm Springs, Buenos Aires, and Beijing. This is where the telecommunications and broadcast industry took FCC members. Beijing? London? Hey, we're at 800-TALK-YES. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into Tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Well, the Dixie Chicks are in it again. When they showed up May 21st at the Academy of Country Music Awards, did you watch that? Natalie Maines apparently wore a sleeveless shirt with the letters F-U-T-K on the front. Now, it's important to remember those letters, F-U-T-K. Here's the thing about living in the South. I swear to God, and I choose to live here. You know, I could leave any time. I've chosen to live here for probably 40 years, various parts of the South. But the letter, well, I'll get to it in a second. Most viewers, apparently, including the show presenter, the award show presenter, Vince Gill, interpreted the letters as an expletive aimed at Toby Keith. Now, Toby Keith, isn't he the one, Kathy, that had the song about, I'll stick my foot way up your ass or something. He's going to kick people's ass. Wasn't it something? Yeah, something like that. And he got I don't know, the God and Country Award for writing that kind of nonsense. Anyway, apparently a lot of people interpreted the letters as an expletive aimed at Toby Keith. And after opening the envelope that revealed Toby Keith had won the night's biggest award, the Entertainer of the Year Award, Vince Gill quipped, quote, I think his name was on someone's shirt tonight, close quote. Now, you can figure out what the F stands for. But as far as the letter U, see, a lot of white people in the South think that the pronoun U is just spelled with the letter U. And the TK could be Toby Keith. So what are you left with? F-U, Toby Keith. But that's the thing about the South. Now, if it would have said F-Y-T-K, eh? But this is the South. This is, F-U-T-K is, So anyway, now what's going on, our program directors for all these redneck radio stations around the country, all these white redneck radio stations around the South and in the Midwest are deciding, well, it's time to kick the Dixie Chicks' ass again. You know, just when you think it's safe to add the chicks back into rotation, oh, Natalie, why do you make it so hard to love you? Here you go again. Damn, we're going to have to pull your record again. Yep. The Lincoln, Nebraska program director of KZKX said that. KTEX in Brownsville, Texas PD says, you know, I was hoping that sometime soon we would be able to put this Dixie Chicks thing behind us. But unfortunately, the can of worms has just been reopened. And I know a lot of KTEX, however the hell you say it, listeners were ready to move on. But now there's been a national display against one of the most popular performers in the country. And I'm talking, of course, about Toby, oh, what the hell's his last name? You know who I mean. Anyway, Miss Maines might as well have taken another jab at Bush. The program director of KFTX in Corpus Christi, Texas, calls Natalie Maines toast. The program director at KNIX in Phoenix, Arizona, is disgusted. Disgusted, she says. I'm disgusted with certain artists who just cannot see that the world doesn't revolve around them and their pettiness all the time. Greensboro, North Carolina, WTQR, the program director there, said, I think it was most distasteful for national TV audience. This has given country music a black eye. For God's sake, let it go. I think country music gives country music a black eye, don't you? Huh? Now, this little spat between Natalie Maines and Toby Keith goes back to that song of his, Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue. I'll kick your ass! You see, Natalie Maines criticized that song in the media last year, and Toby Keith responded that Natalie Maines wasn't worth the powder to blow her to hell. So in his concerts, Toby Keith has been putting up on big screens behind the stage doctored photos of Miss Maines and Saddam Hussein, right? So rednecks, you see, can dish it out, but by God, they can't take it, can they?
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Gay rights groups are hailing a tentative new contract between the Associated Press and the News Media Guild. If approved, the three-year deal would provide 1,700 editorial employees of the news service with domestic partner health insurance benefits, including same-sex partners. The deal would also boost wages and the AP's contributions to a 401k plan, as well as limit the amount employee health insurance contributions could rise in each of the contract's first 2 years.
Flight attendants at Northwest Airlines are suing the company for reneging on a promise to repay them for making wage concessions 10 years ago. In 1993, Northwest gave its flight attendants $100 million in preferred stock in exchange for foregoing pay raises for 3 years. The window for selling off that stock opened this week, but the airline now says it won't honor the buyback agreement until August at the earliest. The flight attendants' lawsuit asks for an additional $200 million in damages for bad faith bargaining and breach of contract. Northwest Mechanics made a similar concession and have $135 million worth of stock they've also been forced to delay selling and may join the legal action.
Austrian unions joined their French and German counterparts yesterday in a series of crippling strikes over plans to roll back the country's pension plan. Austria's conservative chancellor, Wolfgang Schüssel, hopes to cut the government's pension payments by 11% while raising the retirement age, a plan that provoked the largest strikes Austria has seen since World War II. Teachers, trash collectors, postal workers, customs officials, police, hotel, transit, and government workers all joined the walkout. The government withdrew from talks with unions last week, insisting that pension reform is necessary due to a combination of a low birth rate and longer life expectancy.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Pixie Chicks, the weird tonight, use rocks and sticks. So let's demolish their TVs with a bulldozer or whatever you please.
If this reminds you a little bit of bonfires in Berlin. Well, cowboy, that just goes to prove we can get you once again.
Spin Free Radio, yeah, only with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. In just a moment here, we're going to play this sound file for you. Dr. John is calling from Springfield, Missouri. Hey, Dr. John.
Hey, Mike, and it's always good to hear Buddy, also known as a fellow by the name of Jim Tur on the bumper music.
Yes, it is.
He's a very talented guy.
He is very talented.
At any rate, I was just listening to, you mentioned Natalie Maines and Toby Keith.
Right.
And how Toby Keith can take it or dish it out, but he sure can't take it.
Isn't that the truth?
Isn't that the truth? Well, it just reminded me of the Al Franken Bill O'Reilly.
Sure.
Did he beat up on O'Reilly like a... beat him like a bad dog with a yellow puddle on the floor.
Boy, isn't that the truth? And I have found that right wingers, invariably, with no exceptions, they can dish it out. But if you start to give it back, they scream, they wet themselves, they go crazy, they just can't handle it. It's just unbelievable.
He stomped off the stage like...
Yeah, just, you know, they're all candy asses. They're great at giving it out. They can't stand to take it. As long as they're in control, like O'Reilly is on his program, you know, sure, I'm going to cut your mic off. It's very typical, though. I mean... we're not learning anything we don't know. Bullies, whether they're playground bullies or media bullies or whatever they are, as soon as you call them out, they disappear.
Good point, because did you happen to hear the discussion with Molly Ivins and Al Franken after the luncheon?
I did not.
Well, in that, Molly Ivins just had this big grin on her face, and she said the problem with Bill O'Reilly is he's a bully.
Yeah, yeah, well.
I mean, Molly Ivins just said, hey, he's a bully, you know, big deal.
Yeah.
You know, and he can't stand it. Yeah. And you call a bully out, he runs.
Yeah,
he runs away.
Invariably.
Invariably.
They always do.
Listen, I don't get to listen live very much anymore, but I do listen to White Rose Society, and we do thank your Elgin correspondent for putting that on.
Yeah, I'm really glad that Ben did that, because a lot of people, that's about the only way now that they can get the program.
And we do appreciate it, and pass along our many thanks.
I'll do it.
Take care.
Thanks, Dr. John. Appreciate you checking in. All right. We're going to play this for you now. This is an audio file that Kathy's put together of just, I don't know, maybe a third, a fourth, a fifth of this criminal administration's lies about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction program. On this file, you're going to hear the great pretender himself, George Bush, the pencil neck geek, Ari Fleischer, the psychopathic Donald Rumsfeld, the token female, Condoleezza Rice, and the man who has sold his soul to Satan, Colin Powell.
Tell me, tell me lies. Tell me lies. Tell me
4 years ago, UN inspectors concluded that Iraq had failed to amount for large stockpiles of chemical and biological weapons. In last month's declaration, Iraq again failed to account for those weapons.
Biological weapons. With respect to chemical weapons, we know they not only have had them, but that they've used them.
The real threat to peace is Saddam Hussein and his possession of weapons of mass destruction.
Saddam Hussein has got weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein is a threat to America.
We're resting our case on the fact that Saddam Hussein has developed weapons of mass destruction, has them in his possession.
We just discovered undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
What happened to the 26,000 liters of anthrax? What happened to the botulin? What happened to the 1.5, 1.5 tons of VX? What happened to the sarin? Proof that he is not disarmed.
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. I believe he's a threat to the neighborhood in which he lives. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
The declaration that he made is proof positive that he has withheld information about his weapons of mass destruction program.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
It's because Iraq possesses weapons of mass destruction, and that is the core of the issue.
We're threatened by the spread of chemical and biological and nuclear weapons. Every free nation is a potential target.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view, that Saddam Hussein must disarm.
Saddam Hussein must disarm himself of all weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming. He is a danger to the world.
We know what a disarmed country looks like. And Iraq doesn't look like that.
Secretary of State Powell will present information and intelligence about Iraq's illegal weapons programs.
My colleagues, every statement I make today is backed up by sources, solid sources. These are not assertions. What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence. There can be no doubt that Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more. And he has the ability to dispense these lethal poisons and diseases in ways that can cause massive death and destruction. Most of the launchers and warheads had been hidden in large groves of palm trees. This is evidence, not conjecture. This is true. This is all well documented.
Our intelligence sources tell us that he has attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes suitable for nuclear weapons production.
We do have evidence that they have had a nuclear program that was robust.
Saddam Hussein is determined to get his hands on a nuclear bomb. He's made repeated covert attempts to acquire high-specification aluminum tubes.
Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa.
With respect to the uranium, it was the information that we had. We provided it. If that information is inaccurate, fine. We're continuing to examine this issue.
We have never rested our case on nuclear weapons programs in Iraq on this issue about some uranium from Niger.
After Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council, the world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
Secretary Powell described to the United Nations, we have found the bio truck. That's proof perfect that the intelligence in that regard was right on target.
I can't discuss all intelligence information.
And of course, we've already had the successes in finding the bio trucks.
Leaving Saddam Hussein in possession of weapons of mass destruction for a few more months or years is not an option.
The United States will lead a coalition of the willing to disarm the Iraqi regime of weapons of mass destruction.
War is the only option to protect the American people in the region and the world from Saddam Hussein, who is not disarmed.
Iraq will be disarmed.
There's a smoking gun, and it involves weapons of mass destruction. They're within 15 minutes of having a nuclear weapon.
We don't know to what extent there may or may not be weapons of mass destruction used. We don't know exactly how long it would take to find weapons of mass destruction and destroy them. There's so many variables that the numbers of possible point answers create a range that simply isn't useful. It's simply not knowable.
I am pleased with the progress that we're making in the early stages of the war to rid Iraq of its weapons of mass destruction.
This is a war to go after one regime led by Saddam Hussein that possesses weapons of mass destruction that can take the lives of millions.
We've destroyed the base of a terrorist group in northern Iraq that sought to attack America and Europe with deadly poisons. 1 month ago, that country was an arsenal of weapons. Today, the world is safer. Taking every action we can to prevent the Iraqi regime from using its hidden weapons of mass destruction to prevent the launch of missiles and chemical or biological weapons. Terrorists will no longer have a source of weapons of mass destruction in the regime that used to be in Iraq, because the regime that used to be in Iraq is no longer.
I think it is something that will be found. We've always said that we have information that they have weapons of mass destruction. What we have is intelligence about their having it. Whether it was specific location or not is often not the case.
And there is not a doubt but that we will, over a period of time, find people who can tell us where to go look for those things.
We have high confidence that Iraq did indeed have weapons of mass destruction, and nothing has changed our confidence that they will be found. We have high confidence that they have weapons of mass destruction. That is what this war was about and is about.
It obviously is important to find them. Those capabilities, chemical and biological weapons, and it's hard to find them if they're buried under rubble. We don't know. We've got a good group of people, this interagency group, CIA, FBI, DOD, DIA, working out there, and they're collecting things, they're looking for things. You'll be told if we do find something. So, in good time.
We are not a third-rate intelligence agency. There was nothing doctored in those tapes or in anything else we presented.
I believe that the presentation made by Secretary Powell was accurate and will be proved to be accurate.
Already we are seeing important progress in Iraq. Oil, Iraqi oil, is flowing again.
It does not relate to oil. I mean, it just plain doesn't. The vast majority of Iraq's oil fields were not burned. And the country's oil wealth has been preserved.
One, that entire notion is nothing but nonsense. It's the stuff of conspiracy theories, and I don't deal in that. We do indeed have concerns about a country that is awash in gas and oil.
One of the big concerns early on was the southern oil fields. I had frequently talked about the southern oil fields, or oil fields in general, and at least in the south, they are secure. And that is positive news for all of us.
I certainly had nothing to do with providing any chemicals or biologicals or any kind of weapons to Iraq.
I had nothing to do with helping Saddam Hussein and his regime against Iran.
Nonsense. It has nothing to do with oil. Literally nothing to do with oil.
Wow. As you listen to that, I don't know if it's shocking, beyond belief, if it's humorous, beyond belief, if it's a treasonous violation of all these oaths of office, with the exception of the pencil neck geek, he doesn't take an oath of office. But to listen to that, to listen to those statements from George Bush, Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, Colin Powell, just on and on and on, and the denials that towards the end are especially cute, aren't they?
Well, I had nothing to do with providing Iraq weapons in their war against Iran.
It's stunning when you hear it all together like that. And, of course, that's one-fifth, one-sixth, one-tenth of what these criminals have been saying since when? Last October? Is that when it was decided? Is that when the decision was made to attack a third-world country whose major crime against the United States was the fact that they had the oil that these Bush thugs wanted? It's just unbelievable, huh? I think it goes back to September of last year. Remember, that was when Bush and Blair, when they were both at Camp David, and Bush came out and said he was just real surprised and all trembly to find out that he and Tony Blair use the same kind of toothpaste. And it was then that these two politicians referred to what they called a new report from the International Atomic Energy Agency, the UN organization, that allegedly said that Iraq was 6 months away from building a nuclear weapon. Remember that? And Bush said something like, do we need more evidence than that? Now, as it turned out, the IAEA, a spokesman for that organization, said within hours that the IAEA had issued no such report whatsoever. It didn't exist. And that's when Andrew Card said, from a marketing point of view, you don't introduce new products in August. The new product he was talking about was the attack and the slaughter, the second slaughter, in Iraq, the slaughter of almost 200 U.S. military, 200 U.S. soldiers, 6,000-7,000 Iraqi civilians, God knows how many Iraqi soldiers, 20 or 30 Brits. You don't introduce new product in August, Andrew Card said. Now, it's staggering, isn't it, why these people have not been removed from office. It's just incredible. Lie after lie after lie. They have so shredded the U.S. Constitution here at home. I don't know if we'll ever get past what they've done with this USA Patriot Act unless we get responsible leadership in the executive office that will, and the legislative branch that will take the USA Patriot Act and rip it into a million pieces and burn it. But as far as our international relations are concerned, how to get out of this now? How to get out of this? We have how many thousands of troops in Afghanistan? 6,000, 8,000, 10,000 that are being systematically shot? How many troops do we have? 200,000 in 180,000 in Iraq? What do we have? 38,000 in Korea? How long is it going to take for the United States of America to recover from what the Bush crime family has done in 2.5 years, aside from the destruction that is occurring in our economy, in our future, our financial future? It's unbelievable, isn't it? And when you hear the lies, chunked together about the weapons of mass destruction, it's just overwhelming.
Watch me walking out the door. Make it, make it. strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything.
Xie xie.
I should have watched MSNBC.
Should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
After Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council, the world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
Well, you're a liar. As Nicholas Kristof wrote back in May for the New York Times, he wrote, consider the now disproved claims by Bush and Powell that Iraq tried to buy uranium from Niger so it could build nuclear weapons. People involved in the Niger caper say that more than a year ago, the vice president's office, Ed B. Cheney's office, asked for an investigation of the uranium deal. So a former U.S. ambassador to Africa was dispatched to Niger in February 2002, according to people present at that meeting. The American envoy reported to the CIA and the State Department that the information was unequivocally wrong and the documents had been forged. The envoy's debunking of the forgery was passed around the Bush administration and seemed to be accepted, except that Bush and the State Department kept citing it anyway. So not only did they know when Colin Powell, not only when he talked about the uranium from an African country, they knew for damn near a year prior to sitting there at the UN that the report was bogus. They knew it was. They had all discussed the fact that it was. Is this impeachable? Huh? Are these impeachable offenses? This lying that took the United States into war? Well, if it is based on lies, wouldn't you think that the families, that each one of the Americans who have been killed in Iraq, each one of them would have certainly have the grounds, the basis for a lawsuit against the Bush crime family regarding the death of their father or brother or son, a wrongful death lawsuit. Of course, the Democratic Party leadership is just raising all kinds of hell about this, right? Derek is calling from Atlanta. Hey, Derek, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Going fine, sir.
Let us not forget, there was always a hope.
A hope?
Well, there's always hope.
Okay,
hope was diminished a little bit today on CNN.
Well, hold that thought,
okay.
and we'll talk about it when we come back, because I have to take a quick break here. And we'll come back to Derek. We do have three open lines, so call us. 800-TALK-YES. Like to hear what you got to say. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Jordan, the IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. At a Senate hearing, Attorney General John Ashcroft defended the policy of detaining immigrants to fight the war on terrorism. U.S. Senator John Edwards of North Carolina, however, says Ashcroft's detention of immigrants should not have taken place.
We cannot, in an effort to protect ourselves, in an effort to fight this war on terrorism,
Let people like John Ashcroft take away our rights, our freedom, and our liberties. Those things go to the heart and soul of what makes this country great.
Edwards participated in a conference where several Democratic presidential candidates made appearances. A disease expert says the odds are against someone catching SARS on a plane flight. Dr. Martin Cetron of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention made the comment at a congressional hearing today. He said just exactly how the disease is transmitted is still being studied, and the risk of catching it on a plane is not zero. He also stated the best way to prevent people from getting SARS on a plane is to keep sick people from getting on it. The Air Transport Association claims there have only been four instances in the past 3 months where people might have caught the virus from the enclosed, tight environment of a plane. Airlines around the world have experienced decreased business due to SARS.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patented active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
Nevada's two U.S. senators have asked Attorney General John Ashcroft to look into allegations that the Department of Energy intimidated two witnesses who were scheduled to testify against the Yucca Mountain Repository. Last week at a field hearing in Las Vegas, former DOE Quality Assurance Director Robert Clark and Auditor Donald Harris were set to testify about quality assurance problems at the planned nuclear waste storage unit northwest of Las Vegas. Senators Harry Reid and John Ensign claim the two men were discouraged from testifying by the DOE. Reid and Ensign, who are opposed to Yucca Mountain, want Ashcroft to ensure that Clark and Harris will not lose their jobs if they testify. A DOE spokesman has denied allegations of intimidation and says the two men can testify at any time. A historic Chicago hotel is for sale. The company owned by spiritual guru Maharishi Mahesh Yogi is selling the Blackstone Hotel for $35 million. The Heaven on Earth Inns Corporation bought the hotel 2 years ago and converted to luxury condos. They tried to sell the 305 condos for $8 million apiece, but found just one buyer. So now the company is selling the building. A spokesman for the Maharishi says the sale will raise cash to build, quote, centers for the promotion of world peace and stress reduction.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The resignations of New York Times executive editor Howell Raines and managing editor Gerald Boyd are being met with both disappointment and sadness by many Times employees. Dee Wiedemeyer has been an editor for 25 years, and she calls it a sad day for the New York Times. She also says she has faith in their new leader, interim executive editor Joseph Lilleveld.
I can't believe it, that good things will not come. It's just a great newspaper, and that they have to come. Mr. Lilleveld has run the paper before, and I think that actions will be taken.
The 60-year-old Raines became executive editor of the Times in 2001. Boyd, who's 52 years old, spent the last 20 years at the paper. Stocks struggled today, but the major market averages still managed to finish up. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 2 points and ended at 90.41. The Nasdaq was up 11 to 16.46, and the S&P 500 finished up 3 points to 990. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Out of sight, out of mind is dangerous advice when it comes to radiator hoses. After just 4 years of use, they're 100 times more likely to fail. When we come back, I'll tell you the signs.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgshop.com.
What you can't see can hurt you when it comes to radiator hoses. Hoses deteriorate due to chemical reactions between rubber and your car's fluids, like oil and coolant. Heat, age, and pollution also take their toll, causing tiny cracks that split, blister, or leak. To identify a defective hose, look at it. Is it scuffed, swollen, cracked? Now touch. Is it soft, gooey, spongy? These are sure signs. But even if hoses look and feel okay, internal deterioration, hidden from view, may spell danger. Be on the safe side. Replace hoses every 4 years. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. Producer Kathy informs me that that sound file of all the lies from members of the Bush crime family that we played during the first hour, we will replay it during the third hour. So not this hour, next hour, bottom of the last hour of the program tonight, we will replay that for you. And if you miss it, it'll be at whiterosesociety.org. You can download tonight's program, and it will be there. Plus, it'll be on our website, so you've got all sorts of ways to hear it again if you've missed it. Now, back to Derek here in Atlanta. Derek, thanks for holding on.
Hey, no problem. By the way, can you make that audio clip available online? I'd like to send that to some friends.
Yeah, it'll be on our website, mikemalloy.com. When, Kathy? Tonight? Later tonight.
Just that sound clip?
Yeah, just that clip.
Awesome. Couple of things real quick. Yesterday, there was a story on CNN's website about the higher rate of birth defects in Gulf War veteran children. We're talking about the first Gulf War.
Right.
And one of the defects was that in boys, the urethra tended to be open in the back or enlarged. And I think this coincides with a story you guys did about Afghanistan a week ago.
Yeah, that already incidences of chromosomal damage is turning up, and the only commonality between the Gulf War I and the attack on Afghanistan was depleted uranium.
Yeah. Well, interesting proof today that the lies that are coming out of the White House and the spin has really taken hold as far as people not remembering what this war is about.
Mm-hmm.
And as your clip showed, the war was about weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
But if you listen to Wolf Blitzer this evening, he was interviewing Representative Jane Harman, and she's evidently on one of the House Intelligence Committees.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's talking about the commitment in Afghanistan and the problems there, and she's relating that to what she fears in Iraq. And she's actually trying to be somewhat positive, and she's going on about how there needs to be commitment and resources and so forth. And Wolf Blitzer, in a very sarcastic voice, and it just kind of woke me up to how much these guys have bought into the lies and the media is spreading it. In a very accusatory voice, he says, "Well, do you have any doubt that this president, who went to war to liberate the Iraqi people, is not committed to Iraq?" I mean, it's not like, you know, do you have any doubt he's committed? It's, do you have any doubt this president, who went to war to liberate?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just ridiculous, and I do have hope.
Well,
there's
no doubt where Wolf Blitzer's sympathies lie. Remember, he was the Washington correspondent for the Jerusalem Post for years before he was hired by CNN, and slowly worked his way up through this, you know, CNN's wormy hierarchy. If you don't present a certain united point of view where it concerns the Middle East, and that is you back completely the Israeli point of view where it concerns the Middle East, if you don't back that point of view, you are going nowhere now in media in this country. Now, I'll give you a classic example is, what was her name, the correspondent for CNN that I used to work with, I used to write with her. Christiane Amanpour is a classic example because and she's married to Bill Clinton's former State Department guy, Rubin. I'm trying to remember his first name. Not Robert Rubin. He was in Treasury. But Christiane Amanpour started filing reports that were critical from the Middle East. That were critical of U.S.-Israeli policy. And how long has it been since you've seen Christiane Amanpour?
Oh yeah, that's true.
You see? So Wolf Blitzer. It does not surprise me. Wolf Blitzer is just another well-paid media whore that will do precisely what the Bush administration wants done, and that is to put a certain spin on not just the so-called news they report, but also the comments from the guests they have on their program.
Well, how long? I mean, you know, let's try to be positive for a moment. How long do you think it'll be before people finally look back and hear things like this audio clip you did, and they say, wow, you know, we were really crazy 6 months ago. What was this all about? It was lies. Surely they're going to wake up.
I wish that were the case, Derek, but I don't think that's going to happen at all, and I'll tell you why. Look at the attacks that the right wing generated against Bill Clinton for most of his presidency. People don't now look back, even though the final report from Ken Starr stated categorically that every single charge against the Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton had been, it turned out to be, there was no there was no basis for the charges, there was no proof of anything, nothing. I don't care what the event was. How many people still now, today, walk around and say, gee, you know, all that stuff against Bill Clinton was all lies? It just doesn't happen. So, no, we traditionally are a very ignorant population.
But, you know, I will say one thing about that. Nobody, you're right, people don't look at it and say, hey, that was all lies. But most people now, even people who are all for his impeachment, will readily admit that the whole thing was about sex, and they will distill it down to saying, well, the problem is he lied about sex. So they have at least, you know, the people, at least a few years down the road, do come to their mind and say, okay, you know what, it was all about sex. And so the hope is, maybe, that a couple of years from now, people say, you know, it really was all about oil. And well, the next time somebody does this, we're not going to let them do it.
Well, I
hope.
I'd like to share your hope. I'd like to get on board that particular train, but I just can't do it, Derek. I can't. And I get a lot of emails. I get a lot of phone calls from people that say, you know, you've got such a negative attitude, Malloy. You ought to be doing things, approaching this from a more positive point of view. Show some hope. Show some this. Show some that. My middle name used to be Hope. Okay, all through the 90s, you know, I watched the rise of neo-fascism in this country. I prayed to whatever God I happened to be praying to at the time that the media in this country would respond, would fulfill its function as a fourth estate. I watched media become nothing but paid whores for the vast right-wing conspiracy and now for the Bush administration. I'm sorry, Derek, I don't have any hope. I really don't. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to walk around just, you know, constantly negative and, oh, well, all is lost, doom, the world is going to end. I'm just saying I do not share the hope. I hope it happens. I do have that hope. I hope that what you're saying is true.
Yeah.
I hope that your hope is well-placed.
Hey, speaking of praying to God, the Alabama... the federal appeals court that oversees Alabama, that whatever circuit that is.
Yeah, they turned down the Ten Commandments thing.
Did they turn it down?
I think a three-court...
I knew they heard it, but I didn't know they had ruled yet.
I think a three-court panel said it... Well, maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe they were just asking very pointed questions.
Well, yeah, they were definitely asking those questions.
I guess they haven't ruled yet.
Yeah, I don't think they have. But what was interesting is, and then I'll let you go after this, guy who's defending Moore is a colleague of Pat Robertson's.
No surprise there.
Yeah, and friend of the Alabama governor. But his assertion in the argument was that as Chief Justice, and we're assuming here the argument goes that whoever is Chief Justice can decorate the building however they see fit. And the judges asked him, they said, so could he put up, you know, a sign behind the bench that says, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
And Moore's attorney said, yeah.
Or how about a sign behind the bench that says, bite my ass, you're guilty.
Right, right. So hopefully that's got to be turned down, but we'll see.
We'll see. Derek, thanks for checking in.
All right, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Appreciate your call. Jerry is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, Jerry.
Good evening. Excuse me, Mike.
Oh, that's okay.
Do I?
I said that's okay. Go ahead.
I apologize.
You can barely hear me, right?
No, I can hear you fine. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, doing fine.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Anyway, regarding weapons of mass destruction, so are you saying that with the weapons of mass destruction deal in Iraq that Scott Ritter was right?
Looks like he was.
Wouldn't that be wonderful if the Democrats would invoke that name every time that issue came up of WMD?
Yeah, but they won't. The Democrats are afraid. The Democratic Party leadership, Nancy Pelosi and Tom Daschle, are terrified of saying anything that will piss off Karl Rove, because then Karl Rove will order one of these phony front organizations like People for American Justice to spend millions and millions of dollars to paint Nancy Pelosi and Tom Daschle as, people that have sex with stray dogs or something, or worse, Saddam Hussein. So the Democratic Party leadership is not going to respond to these charges. I can tell you that right now.
I'm afraid. And they have so much material that they can respond with. Particularly, I'm talking about the publication, the interview that Will Pitt did with with Scott Ritter. And that was so well appreciated here in Tulsa. I bought a copy. I let friends know about it. They all read it. They thought it was interesting.
Right.
And a couple of popular notions about Iraq that stand on their head. This country's been convinced of that other nations, I think, wonder about us in terms of the looting in Baghdad. You know, historically, that's people have always known that about the city-states from the Middle East, because that's how they got their protection racket, or that's how they survived in terms of taxes or whatnot, with the caravans that came through there.
Right.
You know, that's how they ran their protection rackets or whatnot, which were the first city-states in that region. The city-state of Petra was notorious for it, and that's where we get the word Nabataeans or Nabbers, whatever.
But. That's a little bit too deep for me, but thanks, Jerry.
No, you're welcome. But just real quick, just two more.
Okay, very quickly, hurry.
And so there's the notion of Ali Baba and the 40 thieves,
right.
Which is also the thief from Baghdad.
Right.
That was even a silent movie that was made. Digging in Iraq, they're looking for bones. They just claim they found bones on the site. Everyone knows what happens when you dig in Iraq.
You find bones.
You find very old bones.
Right.
Right.
It's the cradle of civilization.
That's right. And you look for where the hills are, because those are trash piles of the old city states where there's just heaps of trash and bones. From several thousands of years.
I hear you loud and clear.
It's the last one. The last one, Mike, is the line in the sand.
Line in the sand?
What the hell is that?
I have no idea, Jerry, but we're out of time.
Bedouins don't know what that is because, again, you draw lines in the sand and they blow away.
There you go. Thanks, Jerry.
Ciao.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call.
It turned his dream around. I've got to go by what he told me. Try to tell the truth and stand your ground. Don't let the bastards get you down.
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 Don't let the bastards.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days, guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved, guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way, guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams, guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
If you're among the millions of workers and shareholders who are sick of seeing your companies crash while the pampered CEOs who caused the wreck skip gaily away with tens of millions of dollars in lavish pay packages, you might want to look to England for hope. There's been a long simmering political debate across the pond about the unseemly self-enrichment of their corporate chieftains. Even though CEO pay there still is a fraction of the sums paid to corporate royalty here in America. But some British wannabes have been steadily pushing to bring buccaneering off-the-charts U.S.-style pay levels to England. For example, the aptly named Sir Christopher Hogg, chairman of the global drug giant GlaxoSmithKline, claims that British pay levels must become competitive with the king's ransoms paid to American CEOs. Hogwash, shout England's shareholder and worker groups, who've seen the destructive results in America when the fortunes of top executives are separated from the well-being of everyone else. These egalitarian forces have been fighting the Sir Hogs and winning. In January, a new law passed requiring large British corporations to, 1, disclose details of pay packages, and, 2, put them to a vote by shareholders. The law is working. In May, shareholders and union pensioners gave Sir Hogg's own corporation a comeuppance, voting down the proposed deal for Glaxo's CEO, who would have gotten a special $24 million payout even if he had bankrupted the company. Now, to avoid similar public humiliation, honchos at the retailing giant Kingfisher are scaling down their extravagant deals prior to facing shareholders at their upcoming meeting. This is Jim Hightower saying, the rebellion is on. And not only are the Brits storming the barricades of CEO power, but it's happening here, too. To help foster the rebellion among American shareholders, call United for a Fair Economy, 617-423-2148.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. And Kurt is calling from Yellville, Arkansas. Is that right? Yellville?
That's exactly right.
Hey, Kurt, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
First time talking to you. Last time I called, it was Ski.
Oh,
subbing for you.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. First, I got to tell you, you're doing a great job.
Well, thanks. Appreciate
that. I'm a Salon subscriber, and I've been listening since I saw the article.
Oh, great! Well, I'm glad that's how you found the program. I appreciate the fact that Salon did that.
Yeah, it was a pretty good piece, and then I started listening and just hooked.
Yeah, well,
good.
It's a safe legal addiction.
Yeah, I just quit smoking, so this is the only one I got left. I want to tell you, man, you know, I can hear you breaking your heart out here some nights, you know, and I know that it's got to be frustrating, but, you know, I know you are making a difference. I can see where things that I've heard on your show are showing up, you know, mostly in the alternative press, but sometimes even other places, you know, like Codpiece went everywhere after that. You did that thing on Bush in his flight suit.
Oh, yeah?
I started seeing Codpiece all over the place.
I appreciate the vote of confidence. It's hard to guess. We are on so few radio stations. 95% of our audience is internet, and there's no way to gauge how big that audience is. I think it's pretty big, and I'm glad people have found the program.
I really think that I'm seeing, you know, kind of. I really feel like I'm seeing your influence, and I think it's great, you know. And I think some of the things you do on the show, and this is what I wanted to call about, is some of the things we can do as progressives or liberals or whoever, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of, we need to start attaching some of these negative names to these negative policies, or, you know, attaching these policymakers' names to the negative impact, you know, so we can, you know, like you say, Bush crime family.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. You know, that's great. You know, we need more people to say stuff like that.
Well, what we need are people in the Democratic Party leadership who will do what is done on this program every night by me, by callers, by people who are not afraid to call a spade, so to speak. Just like that sound file that we did earlier of all those statements by all those members of the Bush crime family about weapons of mass destruction, all of which were absolutely not only lies, but lies based on a foundation of lies underneath the lies. And you know, I wonder sometimes why Tom Daschle or Nancy Pelosi or somebody in the Democratic Party leadership, if they have, and I've said it before, if they have to take their clothes off and stand naked on the steps of the Capitol building in order to get cameras to come around, and then just say, look, this is what these sons of bitches are doing. Here are the lies. Here are the deceptions. Here is why 200 Americans have died. Here is why 7,000 Iraqis have died. But they won't do it. They won't do it. And you and I can't. We can talk about it. We can bring it up on this program. But it takes the political leadership of the opposition party to grow some backbone and start resisting.
Well, you know, in the absence of that leadership, though, you know, I think kind of a grassroots turning of the tide to kind of mix them
well,
up.
Well, I'm all in favor of that. I think that is occurring. There's some wonderful websites that are trying to do just that.
You know, I've seen some of these things that are more widely adopted now, like Bush recession
mm-hmm.
is a pretty broadly accepted term now.
Right.
Which I think is great because that's exactly what it is, you know. And also another person who was out there and speaking his mind and being very clear and on the money was Al Franken, talking to Bill O'Reilly.
Sure.
I saw that, mm-hmm. watched that video, and that was just awe-inspiring.
Do you want to hold on a second, Kurt?
Sure.
All right. We'll come back right after this break and chat for another minute, I guess. If you're on hold, stick around. We'll get to your call right after the break, right after we talk with Kurt. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Did you read the news today?
Here in Washington, we're now determining the size and the shape of a package. It's not if we have a package, it's how big will the package be.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Use as directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Cleaning up industry creates a multitude of new business opportunities, according to an environmental consultant. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Home Depot has responded to critics who want the company to stop selling lumber from old-growth forests, but it wasn't easy, according to George Basile.
That created a need for a whole new way to track, monitor, measure, and evaluate where you're getting your wood.
Basile is a vice president of the Natural Step, an environmental research and consulting firm based in San Francisco. He says Home Depot's need was someone else's opportunity to create a tracking system for their wood supplies. Other companies need help cutting energy costs or reducing their use of toxic chemicals. Basile says these kinds of opportunities abound as industries are forced to cut pollution and waste or choose to do so on their own to become more efficient.
When you start thinking about how you want to make a more environmentally sustainable and socially sustainable product, it drives innovation within these businesses so that people start to figure out better ways to do things, more efficient ways to do things, things that bring dollars to the bottom line through efficiency, bring dollars through creating new markets and new ideas.
Basile says environmental creativity boosts the economy just like any other new product or service, and he says innovation is a limitless resource.
One idea creates the space for more and more ideas, which is actually sort of how an ecosystem works. The more life you have, the more life you can have.
Basile says improving the environmental performance of industry isn't only about limits, it's also about opportunities. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Tick-tick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. And we're talking to Kurt, who's called in from Yellville, Arkansas. Now, where were we?
We were talking about kind of grassroots turning of the tide of opinion and stuff and right. Labeling some of these negative things as negative because no one's really seeing it. And I'll try to make my point real quickly, but the point I'm trying to make is that, like the ditto heads in that crowd on the right-wing talk radio, they'll come up with like a little catchy phrase or something.
Sure.
And it'll enter the mainstream consciousness,
Right.
And we're doing that somewhat, and we're starting to do it now, like with Bush cartel or Bush crime family or Bush recession, to where we're kind of associating them with their, with their crimes.
Uh-huh.
And so we need to do more of this. We need to get, like little phrases or something and toss out there and just to kind of get people's attention and to get people to really associate it with it or associate it with what's really going on, like call it slash and burn environmentalism
uh-huh.
or something like that or cash diplomacy, just anything you can think of that's catchy. And you do this and you're right on the money by doing this. This is great. But, you're one of the few voices so far. and we need more people.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. Calling it what it is or using phraseology that will get people's attention, I think that's very important. I know at BartCop, if you're familiar with that site, BartCop.com. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's been referring to the Bush family evil empire for 3 years now, BFEE. I use the Bush crime family, and I wish it would catch on. I wish people would understand, even people who consider themselves conservative, because this gang is not conservative. This gang, these are murderers. These are thugs. This is a crime.
They're
literally
they're
a crime
language
family.
For themselves, too, right? They're mislabeling themselves.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Kurt, listen.
That was my point. Yeah.
Well, thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call. I hope you call again.
All right. Thanks for talking to me.
All right, sir. Take care. Kate is calling from San Jose, California. Kate, welcome to the program. This your first time calling?
Hello?
Yeah?
Hi, yes, my name is Kate. This is my first time calling, and I'm actually a new listener.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. My sister turned me on to you, so I have to thank her for that.
Oh, well, say that. Yeah, thanks to your sister, too.
The reason I'm calling is because, just kind of parlaying on what the last caller said, a couple of days ago I was going through the BuzzFlash headlines.
Uh-huh.
And I came across the grassroots campaign to reelect Al Gore in 2004.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say that was like the first time I ever got out of my political depression that I've been having for the past 3 years.
Got over it.
I started to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I felt better was because this is a grassroots campaign that basically tells the leadership of the Democratic Party where to go and how to get there. And the numbers on Gore at this point in time, without running, are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually very good numbers. He is running 9 points behind the president without a campaign. And that poll was taken in March before the war broke out. And we were all, you know, flag-waving Bush lovers.
Right.
And that actually made me feel good that a grassroots campaign might actually, like, whop upside the head the Democratic Party leadership and might actually make them listen to the citizens who are their constituency to say, hey, look, you know, this is what the American people are picking their candidate for you since you are too busy, you know, wagging your tail.
I don't want to be a nitpicker here, but let me pick some nits if you don't mind, Kate.
Go right ahead. That's why I called.
All right. In the first place, the Democratic Leadership Conference, the DLC that runs the Democratic National Committee, they would be thrilled to have Al Gore head a ticket. The problem, as far as the DNC is concerned, is Al Gore. I mean, Al Gore has stated categorically that he's not interested. Now, a grassroots movement, a deadlock convention, Al Gore presenting himself at the last minute, sure, that's a possibility. But the Democratic National Committee has not really yet stated who they would like. They don't, at this point, they haven't actually selected these nine candidates. These nine candidates have selected themselves and said, well, we're going to run. Whether it's, Dennis Kucinich or John Edwards or Gephardt, whoever it is. The Democratic National Committee, let me back up. The Democratic Leadership Council, which is headed by a guy named Al Fromm, he's an old friend of both Clinton and Gore. And Al Fromm, who is not really, and this is where we start picking nits, Al Fromm is not really a Democrat. He is a moderate. What am I looking for? He's a middle of the road. I call them Republican light. Now, does that mean they're bad people? Not necessarily, but they're not really Democrats. But Al Fromm, who knows Al Gore and Bill Clinton as well as you can know anybody in the political world, would be thrilled to see Al Gore run and make an effort. But Al Gore is not going to do that. He may, and I say that with the utmost confidence, he may at the last minute, if there's a deadlock convention, if Gephardt is fighting against Lieberman, who's fighting against Edwards to get the Democratic Party nomination, and that doesn't happen anymore. All this is decided. Here's the hard part, Kate. It's all decided in these damnable primaries. By February or March of next year, remember the election's in November, the Democratic Party's candidate will have been decided, and Al Gore will not be on any of these primary ballots unless between now and I don't know, the end of this year, he can be persuaded to declare himself as a candidate. You said, now, I hope I haven't burst too many balloons here.
Well, I mean, I understand your point logically.
Al Gore has to be persuaded by this grassroots movement.
Yes, he does.
To declare himself a candidate. And I will tell you from my heart, I do not believe that Al Gore is going to do that. Al Gore, here comes a bad word. Al Gore is a very pissed off American right now. He is very, very angry still at what happened. He's very angry about media. He's very angry about what happened to him during the last campaign. And he's thoroughly pissed about the advice he got and the fact that he didn't know how to run his own campaign. So given a choice between Gore and Bush, yes, the American people picked Gore. I would pick Gore between Gore and Bush. But the grassroots idea, the only way it's going to work is if Al Gore pays attention to it, if they get his attention, and he declares himself as a candidate. Now, that's because our primary system has been set up by both the Democrats and the Republicans to make sure that nobody gets in on either side who isn't approved by the DNC or the RNC. We do not live in a system any longer, Kate, where it's really a free-for-all, where you get 15 people declare as candidates and they get down to the wire. I'm so old, I can remember conventions where at the last minute it was decided who was going to be the party's candidate. That doesn't happen anymore. Because both parties, I'm sorry to say this, both parties are controlled by special interests, by an awful lot of money, and they don't like the uncertainty. So, to put a bottom line on this, if this grassroots effort can persuade Al Gore to come out of the woods and declare himself a candidate and get on the ballot of the states that are holding these primaries, then it may happen. But short of that, Kate, no way.
Well, I would pose to you, though, that with given numbers that he's running right now, he's running 5-1 over the Democratic candidates right now. He's
right.
Running 9%. He's running 9 points behind Bush without a campaign.
Right.
Given that I don't think he is not paying attention to this. I think he is paying attention to it slightly. And I think if he were to declare himself, this would be the best way to do it. And the reason I'm thinking is because should he just simply declare himself like he would have in December if he had not turned us all down, you know, the Republican Party could really easily paint him as a sore loser.
Right.
Given a good groundswell and a good grassroots effort, now he would be presented as a private citizen who is being asked to come back to service. And that's a whole other that's a whole other picture to be painted.
Well, in that scenario, yeah, you're absolutely right. With that scenario, if the person that needs, you know, who needs to be convinced of this is Al Gore.
Yes.
Now, I don't doubt for a minute that the wise old men in the Democratic Party are looking at these numbers that you're referring to. They're seeing that Al Gore would at least win the Democratic nomination hands down, and that without campaigning, he's only, what was your number, 9 percentage points?
Yeah, 51 to 42.
Behind too stupid to be president.
Right.
So I would not be the least bit surprised if the phone lines are not lit up even as we speak, where Al Gore is being approached by Al Fromm, by Terry McAuliffe, by Bill Clinton, to go ahead and run. Now, there's one more problem, and that is the ambitions of Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton wants to be the first woman president. She is going to run in 2008, assuming that George Bush gets reelected. Now, if Al Gore were to be reelected in 2004, that means Hillary would have to wait for 8 years. So there's all kinds of inter-party Machiavellian stuff going on here.
Well, that's true, but it wouldn't hurt her to wait 8 years either.
I mean, no, it wouldn't.
She's enough of a junior.
That's right.
At this point, to give another 4 years if Al
sure.
Gore did in fact win.
Well, Kay, I hope that bubbling underneath the surface is exactly what you're talking about.
I really hope so.
I hope it's going on.
And I'm actually called to ask if you would just. You know, I would appreciate people who are, you know, who have a voice more so than I do. If it would just be in the back of your mind when you talk about these things, that there are grassroots movements going on, and this, if it came from the people, you know, the Democratic Party would just have to stand up, and, you know, the Pelosi's of the world and the Dashes of the world, who, you know, I lovingly call Fido now,
right,
because, you know, they happily lap up the crumbs that the president gives them,
mm-hmm,
is, you know, they would have to stand up and say, hey, this is our constituency, and they're the ones who are picking our candidate for us. We're not picking it up. And, you know, they'd have to get behind us.
Now, what about the grassroots movement that's going on behind Dennis Kucinich right now?
See, I like Dennis Kucinich a lot, and
well,
I think he has a very strong. Message.
He's a Democrat.
He is a Democrat. He is the best kind of Democrat, and I really like him. And I think his message is a very strong message. And the only thing, and to be honest with you, right now, I'm just feeling so desperate and against this president that, you know, any good person who could beat this man would make me stand up and take notice.
I understand that feeling.
So, you know, I look at all these, every one of these candidates and think any one of them could take on this administration and the entire cabinet combined,
mm-hmm,
and just beat them with policies better than they're doing. So I am very happy with the pool of candidates that we have out there. But I just, when I saw this, it felt good to see there's a Democrat who is actually, who could beat the snot out of this guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really do appreciate your enthusiasm and your what comes through very clearly in what you're saying, your sense of not wanting to give up, your sense of really wanting to fight and get these thugs out of office. I deeply respect that. We'll have to see how it plays out, of course, but. I just want you to know, even though, you know, right now my candidate of choice is Dennis Kucinich, realistically, I have to look at the big picture here. But right now, the person that I'm backing, at least emotionally, is Dennis Kucinich. But what you're saying makes sense. I'm glad to hear your enthusiasm, and I'm also glad you found the program.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And just keep in the back of your head. And,
will
you know,
do. Will do,
keep
Kate.
Monitor. I appreciate it.
I hope you check in periodically with us, okay?
Will do.
All right. Have a nice evening. Appreciate it. Yeah, I really respect that. I'm not going to put that young woman on the spot and, you know, say, gee, you sound sort of young, and therefore I really, I think that's good, too. But it is. I mean, we've had people as young as 16, 17, not that Kate was that young, but maybe she is. But we've had people that young who are very, very dedicated to the idea that this administration, this regime, this cabal that's in power now has got to go. That to me is the most encouraging, the most encouraging thing I've heard. It doesn't encourage me to hear a Pelosi or Daschle or any of these people just kind of mealy mouthing around. It is a good thing, an encouraging thing, to hear candidates like Kucinich or old guys like Senator Byrd saying the things that need to be said. But again, as Kate was pointing out, this grassroots idea, this idea of the people saying we've had enough, I mean, I certainly do respect that. Doug is calling from Payson, Arizona. Hey, Doug, welcome to the program.
How are you, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
I want you to know this is my second call, and I'm telling you, you're the bright spot of my day. We have a hard time getting you. I just wanted to ask you a couple, three. Have you ever had a debate with Rush Limbaugh?
No, not.
God, you'd be so
not,
great at that. I just
not
wish.
Ever. Limbaugh doesn't do that.
No, I know it. His main ingredient is interruption.
Yeah.
I don't know if people know that he interrupts. I was a college professor, and my wife was a public school teacher, and we moved here. This is my second time I call you, and I just want to know that you're doing a fantastic. And you know, you've said this a couple, three times. If you really look at the definition of fascist.
Right.
It's exactly what the right wing is. They're fascists.
Well, who was it? It was Mussolini, I think. I've used the quote before on the program, but it was Mussolini who said, "Look, you shouldn't call what we're doing fascism. Call it corporatism," because the two terms really are kind of interchangeable.
That's absolutely the truth.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. If ever a society, a modern society here in the in now in the 21st century has used corporatism/fascism, it's the Bush crime family.
Oh, absolutely.
Look at how so-called energy policy was decided.
Oh, absolutely.
Secret meetings with Cheney. Look how environmental policy is decided. Secret meetings with, again, with Cheney. Look how foreign policy is decided. Secret meetings based on lies.
And isn't it amazing that the people that need the Democrats the most don't understand this?
I know.
How could a working man ever vote for George Bush? I don't understand it.
Or any Republican at this point.
God, that's right.
Any Republican. Even the so-called liberal Republicans like the Lincoln Chafees and the Olympia Snow. Any Republican. If these people, they should do what the senator from Vermont did, who became an independent,
absolutely.
Jim Jeffords.
I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, we lived in Montana, and we knew a lot about Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney has been a crook. He's been an absolute crook for 25, 30...
Hey, let me put you on hold a second. I'll come right back to you, Doug, and we'll finish up because we got a break here. While being Ashcroft, take away your rights to freedom. Bear witness to the sickness of these dictators. Hope you understand the time, brother, because it's major. What could you do if you...
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dogs. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
I have something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Subliminable messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Yeah, he is. Five before the hour. Back to Doug, who's calling from Payson, Arizona. Go ahead, Doug. Thanks for holding on.
I tell you, Mike, I bet nobody else has had a theory like this. I honestly don't think Dick Cheney will be the vice president next time. I think about 2 months before the election that he'll say his ticker isn't working and they'll pick somebody out of California or New York for the vice president. Because he's from Wyoming,
right.
And he doesn't carry that much weight, and he's a crook.
Yeah, but the system is no longer based on the need to have a balanced ticket, especially not in the Republican
party. That's right. You're right there.
So and Cheney is really the president of the United States.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He's illegal, just like Bush is illegal. But let's face it, George Bush is the stupidest man ever to occupy the Oval Office. Somebody, and it's not just Karl Rove. Between Karl Rove and Dick Cheney, they are the ones running this country. Karl Rove comes up with the ideas. Karl Rove comes up with the schemes and the scams and the media lies. And Cheney, in the meantime, let me back up. Karl Rove comes up with that stuff, feeds it to the media, and media, like good lapdogs that they are, put it out there. In the meantime, Cheney is behind the scenes, cutting the deals, slamming the doors, opening these doors, kicking people in the teeth, making sure that the job gets done for the top 10% in this country and for the Bush crime family. So I just don't believe that Cheney, if Cheney's alive in 2004, he will be on the ticket. He will be. Because I don't think there's anybody else that can handle too stupid to be president like Cheney can.
Well, I think you're probably right. So you made me change my mind. Tell me a little bit, because you know, but where did this Karl Rove come from? What did he do before he did this?
He was in Texas. He ran Bush's. He met Bush years ago and ran his campaign for governor of Texas. I think both times. I think Karl Rove. You can do a Google search on him, but I think at one time he was connected to the University of Texas. He had some sort of religious conversion or something. I don't know. But he's got a very strange history, but it would be best if you just do a Google search. Just type in Karl Rove. You'll get reams of stuff.
And then I'll hang up and just think about another thing I've noticed is if you're going to be successful as a Republican, all you have to do if you get in trouble is be a born-again Christian.
Oh, that, yeah.
And that'll take care of it.
Yeah, it sure will.
Thanks, you.
Doug. All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. All right, folks, quick break here. When we come back, something from BuzzFlash I want to share with you. It kind of relates to what Kate was talking about a few minutes ago about the Democratic Party, but I want to share it with you. And then coming up at the sound file on the lies of the Bush crime family, Wargate. That's what we'll call it, thanks to Anna, Wargate. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Douglas.
listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, no.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. There's no need to quarantine cattle herds in the U.S. despite the recent mad cow scare in Canada. That's a recommendation of U.S. Agricultural Secretary Ann Veneman. She made the comments today in Washington, D.C., saying the investigation so far has found no other affected animals, but Veneman refused to speculate when her agency would lift the ban on importing of Canadian beef. Just yesterday, USDA officials announced that 5 bulls shipped to the U.S. from Canada in 1997 had come from the farm involved in the mad cow investigation. Those bulls were sent to Montana and South Dakota, and now officials are trying to figure out what happened to them. The recent scare came to light on May 20th when Canada reported their first case of the bovine disease in a decade. They claim, however, that the animals did not enter the food chain. The chairman of the journalism department at Emerson College in Boston, Jerry Lanson, says today's resignations at the New York Times are an important step towards journalism regaining its credibility following fraudulent reporting by Jason Blair. Lanson said, had there been no repercussions at the top, it would have cast significant doubt on the part of the public about whether journalists tell the truth. Executive editor Howell Raines resigned, and Gerald Boyd stepped down as managing editor. Newspaper insiders complained that Howell's managerial style created a climate that fostered Blair's fraudulent reporting. Officials with the paper say Joseph Lelleveld has been named interim executive editor.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
Members of Philadelphia's Fraternal Order of Police have endorsed incumbent Democratic Mayor John Street for another 4-year term. Union President Bob Ettis says Street has been great for the city and its police force.
Mayor Street has done more to improve public safety in Philadelphia than any mayor in recent memory. His integrity and his unwavering commitment to law enforcement are unmatched.
Mayor Street says he's happy to receive the endorsement and he's willing to work with the police department and help fight crime through the Safe Streets program. Federal health experts say the last flu season was mild compared to earlier ones. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention indicated the percentage of flu-related death from 2002-2003 flu season never reached epidemic levels. That's an improvement from the year before when death rose to epidemic levels for 5 consecutive weeks. A CDC flu expert said the kinds of flu that were circulating in the last season tended to cause fewer deaths. The CDC stated it had strengthened its surveillance of the virus and made recommendations to help doctors tell the difference between the flu and SARS.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lab number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Members of the U.S. Air Flight Attendants Union set up picket lines outside airports in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh today to take their grievances to the public. Union head Molly McCarthy says what they want is what was negotiated in their contract with the airline.
We agreed to a new sick policy that was supposed to have no more than a five-hour sick penalty to it. The penalty now goes from 5 hours to about 30 or 40 hours. And that means that a flight attendant, when they call off sick, basically loses a week's pay.
McCarthy says they also want back a 5% war concession that was contingent on the airline suffering from a drop in travel that hasn't happened. She adds this is the first of many protests, with the pilots and other union workers planning to join in next time if their demands aren't met. Stocks struggled today, but the major market averages still managed to finish slightly positive. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 2 points and ended at 90.41. The NASDAQ was up 11 to 16.46, and the S&P 500 finished up 3 to 9.90. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Anti-lock brakes, seat belts, and airbags, all ounces of prevention safety that equip today's cars. But when we come back, I'll tell you where there's a pound of cure, just in case you need it.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
Today's technology-equipped cars are designed to prevent accidents. But when they happen, it's technology again, this time to the rescue. 1,000 cars in upstate New York are testing automated collision notification. This system uses in-vehicle sensors to detect a crash and then employs a satellite and cellular phone system to relate the severity and location of the accident directly to 911. After receiving this information, the operator then opens a voice line and dispatches emergency assistance. Wow, that sounds like 2 pounds of cure to me. I'm Bobby Likas, brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. This is the Mike Malloy Program. Thank you very much for joining us. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES. By the way, if you haven't been to our website, thanks to Mark Marshall at Maximum Interactive for putting that site together. If you haven't been there yet, MikeMalloy.com or .net. Go. Get registered. It's been up for, what, about two weeks? How long has it been, Kathy? About 3 weeks. We have a community now of about 548 registered users. Just go, register, get involved in some of the discussions that are going on there. There's also a live chat room that you can participate in. The registering is very simple. Get involved with this group that has made its way to the message boards at MikeMalloy.com. We don't have any ads there either, do we? Nothing. Now, earlier in the program, matter of fact, at the beginning of the program tonight, I had this little item from the Daily Telegraph of Australia. And it says U.S. President George Bush flew over the Iraqi capital in Air Force One today en route to the United States, a senior U.S. administration official said. The official told reporters in Doha the last leg of the president's Mideast trip, that would be Doha, Qatar, quote, Bush pointed out various landmarks in Baghdad, end quote. Can you imagine that? Now, just think of that for a second. First of all, you know that's a lie. You know that is an absolute, it's just another lie from the Bush administration. Bush couldn't find Iraq on a map, much less fly over Baghdad and point out landmarks. Like what? What the hell would he point out? Okay, so that's a lie. But the spokesman said the Bush's Air Force One 747, Boeing 747, spent an hour and 16 minutes in Iraqi airspace. And this official, unnamed, added, probably Ari Fleischer, added, Bush flew over Iraq for two reasons. First, to get home. And second, to show that Iraq was now free. Don't you want to get this spokesman for the Bush crime family and just, I don't know, just invite him over for a beer or something? Now, regarding that, Shirley emailed in, Mike, I heard in your news earlier that Bush, the great liberator, did not land in Baghdad and did not give the Iraqis a chance to cheer him and thank him for his mission accomplished. Instead, he flew over the city and over Iraq for an hour. How humble. I was so hoping, Shirley writes, that he would go into the city and get his rewards from the Iraqis. Ooh, Shirley. And Joe in Cypress Springs, Texas, and a couple other people have emailed this into me, this idea the past couple of days. The gist of it is, be careful, Mike, don't fall into a trap about these missing weapons of mass destruction. It sounds, to a lot of you folks, it sounds like a Karl Rove a tripwire or punji stick where, you know, everybody's going to say, ah, see, no weapons of mass destruction. And then at the last minute, the weapons of mass destruction that the Bush crime family will have planted in Iraq will be discovered, and they will be extensive. And if we had an independent media in this country, if we had people who would challenge this tyrant, it probably could be proven that those weapons of mass destruction, if they are found, those biological and chemical agents, those nuclear weapons precursors or whatever, that if we had an investigative journalist media in this country, it could probably be proven very quickly that it had been sent there and planted, but we don't have that. So Joe in Cypress Springs and a couple other people have emailed in and said, you know, be careful because, and the warning is to the Democrats too, some of whom, like Senator Byrd, some of whom are starting to state now, they're getting closer and closer to stating categorically, like we have on this program, that such weapons don't exist, and they haven't existed since the mid-90s. As Joe wrote in, it could be a trap. It could be a trap. And then those of us who are saying the weapons don't exist would have the proverbial egg all over our faces. Well, that's true. That's very true. I would put nothing past these tyrants, these thugs, these liars. So the warning is duly accepted, Joe and the other people who have sent in that warning. Now, I want to share with you something from BuzzFlash. And Kate, our caller from the West Coast, got me thinking about this, to include this in tonight's program. BuzzFlash has an editorial. It says, some of our readers have criticized our almost daily chastisement of Tom Daschle and Nancy Pelosi for their chronic inability to convincingly denounce the serial lying and radical 19th century agenda of the White House. Here's our response. We won't stop taking them to task until they either start standing up for the truth or step down from their leadership positions. Americans are a people of basic decency and common sense. When we know the truth about the dishonesty of the Bush administration, the chemistry of the current politics in this country would be radically altered. Bush couldn't get away with one quarter of the extremist surgery he is performing on this nation if only the Democrats would out him as a liar. Most Americans don't agree with the Bush cartel on almost any domestic policy issue or on foreign policy based on the facts. What they, the Americans, end up supporting is policy sold to them on the basis of lies, deception, and the strategic character assassination of opponents. Unfortunately, neither the Democratic leadership nor the pro-Bush media is interested in standing up for a government based on honesty and truth. We think Tom Daschle or Nancy Pelosi would make decent, honest presidents, but they make lousy leaders of the opposition party. They are indeed nothing more than token opposition to an administration that is dismantling our constitutional democracy day by day through slash-and-burn legislation and regulatory bonfires. Pelosi and Daschle act as if nothing special is going on here, as if the lying and deception doesn't matter. If they don't show outrage at the dishonesty and extremism of the Bush White House, why should the average American? But the lying and deception of the Bush administration would matter to the vast majority of Americans if only someone would tell them the truth. And it goes on, and I will post this at our website like we always do. But just a couple more quotes from this. Polling last week indicated that more than 70% of Americans thought that the post-war occupation of Iraq was going just fine. You remember, we talked about that. And that more than 40% thought that weapons of mass destruction had been found. You see how stupid we are, how ignorant we are as a people. And it's because of our media, because the truth is not out there. This is not the BuzzFlash editorial. This is what I've been talking about for months. And the media in this country has failed miserably. The Democratic Party leadership has failed miserably. Now back to the BuzzFlash editorial. What's clear here is that if the Democrats don't expose the Bush administration's lying with abandonment, they will never win the presidency or Congress in 2004 because no one is telling the American people the truth. Therefore, voters believe the so-called branded product of Bush that Karl Rove is selling on television. They believe that this is an honest product. And why shouldn't they? No one is telling them otherwise. The problem for Daschle and Pelosi is that they are too timid, too strategically inept, too driven by consultants, and too concerned about the polls. People write us and say, and it's not just BuzzFlash, I get this too, you must stand up for Daschle. He's under attack by the Republicans. Since the beginning of BuzzFlash.com, we have stood up for Daschle again and again, but there comes a point when we can't continue to stand up for him if he won't stand up for the truth. In a recent interview, Sidney Blumenthal said, quote, I believe that no attack should go unanswered. You have to correct the record. There are two reasons for that. If you don't, people won't understand you. And two, if you don't fight for yourself, why should people believe that you'll fight for them? That was posted at Salon.com. Now, I'm going to post this, and BuzzFlash says at the end of this, please consider sending this editorial that they've... Here's what it says. Please consider taking the time today to send this editorial by U.S. mail or fax to Henry Waxman, since he's challenging Bush on the conduct of the war and other important issues. It might also be a good idea to ask Waxman to circulate the article among other members of Congress. So, And Kate's call is what made me think, hey, you know, I think I'll bring this thing up tonight from BuzzFlash. But BuzzFlash is saying what we know. The Democratic Party leadership is failing miserably. Damn it, just miserably. We don't have media in this country anymore that is honest, that is forthright. We have punks like Wolf Blitzer. We have sellouts like Tom Brokaw. Yes, we still have a few good writers, a few good newspapermen and women. We still have Russell Mokyber. We still have Robert Scheer. We still have Paul Krugman. But most people don't get their information and news from Krugman or Helen Thomas or Mokyber. They get their information from television, and television has become a whorehouse. That's all it is, a huge the Nevada house of prostitution. So who do we rely on? That's the point BuzzFlash is making. Nancy Pelosi and Tom Daschle are the leaders of the Democratic Party in the House and the Senate, respectively. What are they saying? What are they doing? Nothing. And folks wonder sometimes, well, you know, Mike or BuzzFlash or Bart Cop or whoever it is, you know, you guys should not be attacking Democrats, so you're just playing into Republicans' hands and on and on and on. Well, I respectfully disagree. By the way, another U.S. soldier was killed in Iraq today, and five more of our people were wounded in Fallujah. Whoever staged the attack opened fire with RPGs, rocket-propelled grenades. So another American soldier dead, five more wounded. According to a U.S. military statement, the attacker was, quote, an unknown assailant. Oh, for Christ's sake. What do you mean, an unknown assailant? U.S. military did not say if any Iraqis were killed or wounded in the ensuing battle. Now, Fallujah has, as you know, has been a flashpoint of resistance to occupation by the Bush crime family and the U.S. military. We keep losing people in Iraq, and the Bush bastard had the audacity to stand on the deck of that aircraft carrier with a sign behind him that said, "Mission accomplished."
We take lives when we have to protect the people. That's how I look at it.
Enough is enough, is enough, is enough. Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, "At a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore"? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, "To people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Yes, I'm calling about
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
I know what it means to hug mothers and wives.
Yeah. Stephen is calling from Asheville, North Carolina. Stephen, this is your first time calling, right?
Yeah, that's right, Mike.
Welcome to the program.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I just discovered you through a referral from a friend of mine, and my gosh, bless you guys for doing what you do out there.
Well, thanks for finding the program, and please spread the word.
I just sent a mass email out just a few days ago to people and gave them your website.
And if you haven't registered the website, go there because it's turning into quite a community.
Yeah.
Good place to go and debate your thoughts.
Yeah, great. Well, I certainly will do that. Listen, Mike, I wanted to run something by you that's been kind of bandied about on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly, in the spring of Clinton's last year, there was some sort of secret legislation passed called the National Economic Security and Reformation Act. Do you know anything about it?
Not by that title. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, this is put out by the 4winds10.com site, and this person who writes this thing is called the Dove of Oneness. Take that for what it's worth.
Right.
This is probably let me rephrase this. Since everything that we all seem to feel is going on in the world is all driven by economics, that is that is behind all of this darkness that mm-hmm. we all seem to be very concerned about, and rightly so, I would say, you know, but the ruling classes of the world running
mm-hmm.
the planet in ways to continually line their pockets at the cost of the rest of us. This piece of legislation, taken at face value, will change that atmosphere forever. Now, I could read what I have on my screen if you want that information and you think your listeners might be interested.
Well, rather than do that, if you can send me a link, and I will post the whole thing at my website, but I don't think we've got the time to do the whole thing. It sounds very intriguing. I'd like to see what it is. Can you send it to me? Just send it to MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net.
Okay, hold on here. Mike, would it say Mike D?
Yeah, Mike D,
uh-huh.
M-A-L-L-O-Y,
uh-huh.
Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. If you'll send me a link, what I'll do is take a look at it and then put the whole thing on my website, and people can check it out at their leisure.
Okay. This is pretty exciting.
I'd like to see it.
This whole thing is being managed by the World Court in The Hague. And all the legislators that were involved with passing this thing were sworn to secrecy, you know, that they couldn't reveal this until the World Court decided it was time.
Well, I'm always, and you touched on it, I'm always a little suspicious if somebody calls themselves the Dove of Oneness.
Yeah, really. You got it.
But on the other hand, sometimes, you know, the village idiot comes up with things that are absolutely grounded and based in fact. So I don't, you know, I don't discount anything. I still believe in tarot card readers.
Yeah, speaking of the village idiot, I'll share this with you, and then I'll leave and let someone else get on.
Okay.
It was a sign at the February 15th Peace March in Washington, and it goes like this. Somewhere in Texas, there's a village missing its idiot.
Yeah, right. I think we saw that one. Kathy, the producer here, had her sign said, visualize a special prosecutor.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a pretty good one, too.
Yeah.
But the one about somewhere in Texas, a village is missing its idiot, that is so true. It was probably one of the Dixie Chicks that said that. God, don't let anyone know that. Or their record sale, their play of their CD on country music stations will decline even further. So.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of Texas, I know that you have Jim Hightower on your show doing his little vignette
of
Words of Wisdom. We just had the Rolling Thunder Down Home Democracy Tour here in Asheville, and it was an awesome event. And I would say any of your listeners want to bring this man and his organization to their city for what was billed as Reclaiming Democracy. It was an awesome event, very well organized.
It is, yeah. I've seen it one time, and yeah. it's
we
amazing.
Had Patch
to see.
Adams,
right.
Here.
The doc, Dr. Patch Adams.
Dr. Patch
yeah.
Adams, what a package he is.
He is indeed. Hey, listen, Stephen, thanks for checking out. I hope you're going to call again.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
All right,
carry on, buddy.
Thank you. Take care.
What's he going to try? Does he really think Armageddon is nigh? Does he care if children die? La 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 la. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Gay rights groups are hailing a tentative new contract between the Associated Press and the News Media Guild. If approved, the three-year deal would provide 1,700 editorial employees of the news service with domestic partner health insurance benefits, including same-sex partners. The deal would also boost wages and the AP's contributions to a 401k plan, as well as limit the amount in employee health insurance contributions could rise in each of the contract's first 2 years.
Flight attendants at Northwest Airlines are suing the company for reneging on a promise to repay them for making wage concessions 10 years ago. In 1993, Northwest gave its flight attendants $100 million in preferred stock in exchange for foregoing pay raises for 3 years. The window for selling off that stock opened this week, but the airline now says it won't honor the buyback agreement until August at the earliest. The flight attendants' lawsuit asks for an additional $200 million in damages for bad faith bargaining and breach of contract. Northwest Mechanics made a similar concession and have $135 million worth of stock they've also been forced to delay selling and may join the legal action.
Austrian unions joined their French and German counterparts yesterday in a series of crippling strikes over plans to roll back the country's pension plan. Austria's conservative chancellor, Wolfgang Schüssel, hopes to cut the government's pension payments by 11% while raising the retirement age, a plan that provoked the largest strikes Austria has seen since World War II. Teachers, trash collectors, postal workers, customs officials, police, hotel, transit, and government workers all joined the walkout. The government withdrew from talks with unions last week, insisting that pension reform is necessary due to a combination of a low birth rate and longer life expectancy.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern, on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. All right, we're going to play this again. We played it at the bottom of the first hour of the program. I want to play it again. This is a sound montage that our producer, Kathy Bay, put together. These are the lies of the Bush crime family. And by the way, Mark Marshall, our esteemed webmaster, has put this montage of Wargate. And thanks to Anna for the name. Wargate is what it's to be called now. It's at MikeMalloy.com on the gallery page. And I had somebody call and say, can I download it and put it on my website? Anything that you hear on this program is yours. Anything we put together, anything that you can get from this program, take it. Spread it all over the planet. You certainly have my open and unabridged, unqualified permission. All right, what this is, it's the Pencil Neck Geek, Ari Fleischer. It is the psychopathic Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. It is too stupid to be President George Bush. It is the complete sellout and a man who should resign if he's going to retain even a shred of dignity, Colin Powell. It is, I don't know what she does, Condoleezza Rice. Is that it, Kathy? Was there a sixth person? These five. Now, kick back, listen to this, and understand who controls this country.
Ago, UN inspectors concluded that Iraq had failed to amount for large stockpiles of chemical and biological weapons. In last month's declaration, Iraq again failed to account for those weapons.
Biological weapons, with respect to chemical weapons, we know they not only have had them, but that they've used them.
The real threat to peace is Saddam Hussein and his possession of weapons of mass destruction.
Saddam Hussein has got weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein is a threat to America.
We're resting our case on the fact that Saddam Hussein has developed weapons of mass destruction, has them in his possession.
We just discovered undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
What happened to the 26,000 liters of anthrax? What happened to the botulin? What happened to the 1.5, 1.5 tons of VX? What happened to the sarin? Proof that he is not disarmed.
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. I believe he's a threat to the neighborhood in which he lives. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
The declaration that he made is proof positive that he has withheld information about his weapons of mass destruction program.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
It's because Iraq possesses weapons of mass destruction, and that is the core of the issue.
We're threatened by the spread of chemical and biological and nuclear weapons. Every free nation is a potential target.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view, that Saddam Hussein must disarm.
Saddam Hussein must disarm himself of all weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming. He is a danger to the world.
We know what a disarmed country looks like. And Iraq doesn't look like that.
Secretary of State Powell will present information and intelligence about Iraq's illegal weapons programs.
My colleagues, every statement I make today is backed up by sources, solid sources. These are not assertions. What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence. There can be no doubt that Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more. And he has the ability to dispense these lethal poisons and diseases in ways that can cause massive death and destruction. Most of the launchers and warheads had been hidden in large groves of palm trees. This is evidence, not conjecture. This is true. This is all well documented.
Our intelligence sources tell us that he has attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes suitable for nuclear weapons production.
We do have evidence that they have had a nuclear program that was robust.
Saddam Hussein is determined to get his hands on a nuclear bomb. He's made repeated covert attempts to acquire high-specification aluminum tubes.
Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa.
With respect to the uranium, it was the information that we had. We provided it. That information is inaccurate, fine. We're continuing to examine this issue.
We have never rested our case on nuclear weapons programs in Iraq on this issue about some uranium from Niger.
After Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council, the world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
Secretary Powell described to the United Nations, we have found the bio truck. That's proof perfect that the intelligence in that regard was right on target. I can't discuss all intelligence information. And of course, we've already had the successes in finding the bio, the bio trucks.
Leaving Saddam Hussein in possession of weapons of mass destruction for a few more months or years is not an option.
The United States will lead a coalition of the willing to disarm the Iraqi regime of weapons of mass destruction.
War is the only option to protect the American people in the region and the world from Saddam Hussein, who is not disarmed.
Iraq will be disarmed.
There's a smoking gun, and it involves weapons of mass destruction. They're within 15 minutes of having a nuclear weapon.
We don't know to what extent there may or may not be weapons of mass destruction used. We don't know exactly how long it would take to find weapons of mass destruction and destroy them. There's so many variables that the numbers of possible point answers create a range that simply isn't useful. It's simply not knowable.
I am pleased with the progress that we're making in the early stages of the war to rid Iraq of its weapons of mass destruction.
This is a war to go after one regime led by Saddam Hussein that possesses weapons of mass destruction that can take the lives of millions.
We've destroyed the base of a terrorist group in northern Iraq that sought to attack America and Europe with deadly poisons. 1 month ago, that country was an arsenal of weapons. Today, the world is safer. Taking every action we can to prevent the Iraqi regime from using its hidden weapons of mass destruction to prevent the launch of missiles and chemical or biological weapons. Terrorists will no longer have a source of weapons of mass destruction in the regime that used to be in Iraq, because the regime that used to be in Iraq is no longer.
I think it is something that will be found. We've always said that we have information that they have weapons of mass destruction. What we have is intelligence about their having it. Whether it was specific location or not is often not the case.
There is not a doubt but that we will, over a period of time, find people who can tell us where to go look for those things.
We have high confidence that Iraq did indeed have weapons of mass destruction, and nothing has changed our confidence that they will be found. We have high confidence that they have weapons of mass destruction. That is what this war was about and is about.
It obviously is important to find them. Those capabilities, chemical and biological weapons, and it's hard to find them if they're buried under rubble. We don't know. We've got a good group of people, this interagency group, CIA, FBI, DOD, DIA, working out there, and they're collecting things, they're looking for things. You'll be told if we do find something. So, in good time.
We are not a third-rate intelligence agency. There is nothing doctored in those tapes or in anything else we presented.
I believe that the presentation made by Secretary Powell was accurate and will be proved to be accurate.
Already we are seeing important progress in Iraq. Oil, Iraqi oil, is flowing again.
It does not relate to oil. I mean, it just plain doesn't. The vast majority of Iraq's oil fields were not burned. And the country's oil wealth has been preserved.
One, that entire notion is nothing but nonsense. It's the stuff of conspiracy theories, and I don't deal in that. We do indeed have concerns about a country that is awash in gas and oil.
One of the big concerns early on was the southern oil fields. I had frequently talked about the southern oil fields, or oil fields in general, and at least in the south, they are secure, and that is positive news for all of us.
I certainly had nothing to do with providing any chemicals or biologicals or any kind of weapons to Iraq.
I had nothing to do with helping Saddam Hussein and his regime against Iran.
Nonsense. It has nothing to do with oil. Literally nothing to do with oil.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies.
Well, I wonder how much of that can be used in court. That's Wargate. You had a chance here to hear Condoleezza Rice babbling incoherently. Bush, as he normally does, chewing up the English language. Colin Powell lying to the entire world. R.A. Fleischer talking, as he always does, in smaller and smaller concentric circles. And then, of course, Rumsfeld getting all Heisenberg uncertainty principled on us, right? It's just amazing. Now, if you want to hear that, if you want to download it, if you want to do whatever you want to send it to a million people, our webmaster, Mark Marshall, has put that montage of Wargate on the gallery page at MikeMalloy.com. So help yourself. Have at it. Kathy is calling from Athens, Georgia. Kathy, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
It is, Mike.
Welcome aboard.
I have been up past my bedtime every night since I found your program.
Well, bless your heart.
You have been complaining about the media. ABC reported Bush lies tonight.
Did they?
Yeah, they showed Bush at the State of the Union address, I guess, where he was talking about Saddam Hussein's nuclear weapons.
Uh-huh.
And then they came back with a report from the CIA showing that the Bush administration knew, you know, in advance of that speech that that was bogus.
Yeah, we had that on the program tonight. I never would have thought that ABC would go ahead and air that. The person who originally said that was, I think, Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times back in May, where he revealed that as far back as, I think, almost a year ago, when that report about nuclear weapons and the material coming from the African country of Niger, that we had sent someone to investigate, and they came back and said, no, it's a forgery, it's a fraud, it's not true. And the Bush crime family knew this for the better part of a year, and yet they sent Colin Powell into the United Nations to sit there and publicly state a lie. I'm amazed that ABC reported it.
Well, they did.
Wow.
They did a nice spot on it. I'm amazed at Colin Powell.
I am, too.
I don't understand it.
But if you understand Colin Powell's history, remember, this is the guy when he was a colonel, I believe he was a colonel or a lieutenant colonel or maybe a major, when he was in Vietnam. He knew about the My Lai massacre. He knew what had happened there, and he was instrumental in keeping it covered up until, I believe it was Seymour Hersh, who at the time was writing for the New York Times and exposed it. And it was Colin Powell who, when the reports started circulating amongst the U.S. military in Vietnam, it was Colin Powell who was assigned the task of finding out what had happened, whether or not something had happened, the slaughter of 200 or 300 innocent civilians in ditches in the village of My Lai. Colin Powell knew the truth and suppressed the truth and hid the truth, not just from, I believe it was Lyndon Johnson at the time who was president, but also from the American media and from the American public. So if you look at that, you can understand that Colin Powell is essentially a liar. Now, we could say, okay, it was just CYA. He was in the chain of command in the military, and there wasn't a whole lot he could do. I say to that, bat squeeze. If the man were honorable and an honest human being, he would have done something. So it's not surprising here 35 years later that Colin Powell continues his lying attitude, only now it's the rest of the world he's lying to.
Right. Well, I think it's going to be exposed more. Not only does the media have proof. They can prove the lies that have been told.
If they have the courage to do it.
Well, ABC did a great job tonight. Mm. By the way, I'm married to a Rush Limbaugh Republican.
Oh, you have my sympathy, dear.
Well, he's listening to Fox News. I'm listening to you.
Well, how long have you been married?
40 and a half years.
Well, you're doing something that's working, both of you. So just... It sounds like Mary Matlin and James Carville.
Well, you know, I just told him about 6 years ago that we cannot discuss politics.
Well, I'm lucky. The person I'm married to shares my political point of view, and I share hers. But if you manage to stay married for 40 years and you're that diametrically opposed, politically speaking, good for you. Good for you.
Well, you do a great show, and it really helps me sleep better.
Well, that's good. It doesn't get your blood pressure up where you can't sleep?
No.
Oh, good.
Not
okay.
Hearing anybody talking like you do is what gets your blood pressure up.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's
true. You know,
true.
Walking through the living room and seeing Fox News.
Well, fix him a nice cup of tea and tell him you love him, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. I hope you call in again, by the way.
I will.
And tell your friends about the program.
I certainly will.
All right, you take care. I have respect for those kinds of marriages. I really do. I mean, I obviously would think that Kathy's husband is all wrong. I think James Carville's wife is all wrong. But you got to respect that kind of compromise in a marriage, right? Don't you? Well, sure you do. Of course you do. Jeremy is calling from State College, Pennsylvania. Jeremy, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, too, right?
That's correct, Mike.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Thanks. I'm calling because I was listening to that caller you had about an hour ago going on about the grassroots thing for Al Gore. And
that was Kate from, I believe, in California.
Right. And, well, not to get into it too long, but if Al Gore would have done anything in any of the televised debates to distance himself from the opinions of Bush, I think he might have fared better. But anyway, I voted for Nader in 2000, and here's the point of my call. I'm a registered Green. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, late 20s, so I still have some optimism. Haven't lost all hope yet.
Right.
But I sit and I wonder, at what point do I decide to abandon the Greens, who I truly believe in, and try and register Democrat and maybe give a primary vote to someone like Kucinich or, to a lesser extent, Howard Dean, who I'm not totally sold on yet, but he's looking better than, say, Lieberman.
Yeah, right.
You know, at what point do you say, okay, do you cut off the true liberalism where true Democrats are now, you know, all the way to the left with the Greens?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you try, as you said, you know, the primaries are so set up to make sure the least harmful candidate gets picked for both parties.
Can I get you to hold on, Jeremy?
Yeah, sure.
All right, I'll come right back to you. We have to take a break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Fool me once. Shame on you. If fool me, can't get fooled again.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the charts.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24-7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by with good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
It's about 5 before the hour. We're talking with Jeremy in State College, Pennsylvania now. You were talking about trying to make up your mind whether or not to back a Democrat.
Right, because, I mean, as I said, I'm a registered Green, and, right. You know, if I, you know, because obviously a primary vote would be much more valuable to someone like Kucinich, you know, if I could give it to him. But then, you know, if he would get the popular vote in a primary vote, would the delegation give him the nomination anyway?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, where do I go? Do I just stay and vote Green, or do I try and see if I can get a Democrat who really is a Democrat?
Well, it's hell right now for I'm still a registered Democrat, but I'm a Kucinich Democrat, which I'm also a Nader Democrat, which means which only means I'm a real Democrat. I wish the Democratic Party platform would simply absorb and adhere to the Green Party platform. On just about every issue that I've been able to see, one of the reasons I do not vote Green is because I do believe that right now it I'm sorry to say this, it's a wasted vote, and I believe that the country is in a death grip from this Bush crime family. Now, that's not to say that I would never vote Green. It's a real dilemma. I mean, it really is. It's a hell of a dilemma because the Greens, in my opinion, are nothing more than real Democrats.
Right.
And the Democratic Party has become, officially anyway, Republican light. So it's hell for those of us who still adhere to Democratic Party principles but understand real politic, and that is a protest vote, which is what a vote for Greens is. Ultimately, it's not designed as a protest vote. It's designed as saying, I'm going to vote for somebody in whom I believe. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Right. And that's where you say, well, you know, if no one votes Green, then you're not going to move forward. But, you know, you try to build more, but then they say you're still throwing your vote away anyway. So.
Right. Well, I said during before the last debacle that became the election in 2000 that, in my opinion at the time, what the Greens need to do is to build a power base. That was the one thing that kind of pissed me off about Nader is that he wanted to start at the top. Now, Nader's not a Green.
Right.
You know, he's an independent.
But, right.
But the Green Party, you know, grab some state legislatures, grab some city councils, county commissions, state school boards. Traditionally, that's the way it works in this country. That's exactly what the flying monkey right did.
I agree.
Grabbed everything. Hey, Jeremy, we're out of time. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we just have to go. I hope you'll call again.
I probably will.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Appreciate you checking in. We just didn't get And for those of you who are still on hold, I apologize. We just flat ran out of time. Tonight's program engineered in Detroit by Charlotte Jones, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Vittman announces, again, many thanks to Mark Marshall, our esteemed webmaster, for MikeMalloy.com. Go there. Get registered. We're approaching 600 registered users. We'd like to have you included. And that audio montage we played, it's there on the gallery page. Wargate is what we call it. Download it. Take it. It's yours. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right